that you'd touch, oh Lord, this evening, that you'd help them. God, we pray that you'd be these special offices. God, that you'd move, Lord, and help in each and everything. We pray for Miss Summer, Lord, that you'd help. God, that baby be healthy. Help her, Lord, that to be healthy. God, we pray, Lord, that you just do that as only you can. Father, for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we make our prayer. Amen.
All right, we'll open our Bibles to John chapter number 6, into another chapter, new chapter tonight. John chapter number 6, Jesus is healed in chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, and then had that long protracted confrontation with the Pharisees. That ended there on last Wednesday night as we covered through the last part of chapter 5. And Jesus putting them in their place, amen, about believing Moses and the prophets. And so here we are tonight in chapter 6, and this is a very familiar story. Everybody in here has heard it, and you've heard it preached from. But if you'll listen tonight, you might get something new, amen. There's not any new scripture. Same Bible that's been here ever since I've been alive. Amen. But sometimes God will make it fresh to us. Amen. Sometimes He'll make it fresh. After these things, verse 1, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up in a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together, the 12 baskets, with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Lord, help us tonight. God, I pray that You'd give us exactly what we need to hear from heaven. Lord, I'm glad that You're still the same miracle-working God tonight that You were in John chapter number 6. I pray that You'd help us to expound the Scriptures for a few moments here this evening. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now all of the miracles of Christ were mighty and marvelous and meaningful miracles. Every last one of them. But this one in particular must have occupied a special place in all of the disciples' memories, for it's one of the miracles that is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Now, I told you when we started in the book of John how that John was different than the others. Those other, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those are called the Synoptic Gospels. They contain a lot of the same stories. But John, his Gospel's different, but he includes this miracle, which is also included in the Synoptic Gospels. And so, this was no doubt a major ordeal. And one thing that I would say tonight is that this miracle, perhaps more than any of the other miracles that Jesus ever performed, illustrates the truth that Jesus is all we need. Now you say, I need Jesus and... No. You say, yeah, but I need Jesus and a house. No. I need Jesus and food. No, you don't. I need Jesus and clothes. No, you don't. You say, but what are you telling me? What I'm telling you tonight is Jesus is all you need. If you've got Jesus, everything else will work itself out. Amen. And Jesus is self-sufficient. Amen. He don't need the help of anybody else. And so we see that Jesus is all we need. Now, this miracle takes place on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, just down below the Golan Heights, directly across from the Mount of Beatitudes. The Lord had traveled all that way. This mighty multitude had followed Him. Some had come, no doubt, to listen. They'd heard about the Lord, and He was a great preacher, and they probably had the same kind of interest in Him that they had in John the Baptist. They came to listen. Others came that they might learn. That's a good reason to come. Some, no doubt, were just lookers. They just came that because they wanted to see what might happen. They knew that some strange things were going on. But there were some in the crowd that were there because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But all of them are going to end up getting a blessing. Now, Jesus has been teaching. Jesus has been talking with them. The sun is starting to set. Evening is coming. Stomachs are starting to growl. And people are beginning to get hungry. Now, if there's one thing in this message tonight that's encouragement to this pastor's heart, it's to know that even when Jesus was preaching, people would get their appetite and want to eat. Amen. Even when Jesus was preaching, that makes me feel a little bit better about myself. Amen. Amen. I also find the book of Acts that while Paul was preaching, he put one man to sleep and he fell out dead. Amen. That makes me feel a little bit better about myself sometimes. But Jesus is preaching. They're getting hungry. And there's 5,000 men. Some Bible scholars would say probably upwards of 20,000 people that would have been present there. And they start talking. They're getting hungry. Boy, in this condition tonight, we would say that this is mission impossible. I mean, there's just no way that this crowd's going to get full. And you know, sometimes when we begin to look at our problems, have you ever noticed this? You can see how somebody else's problem might work out. You can see how God might work in somebody else's life. But have you ever noticed that when it comes to our own problems, boy, all we can focus on is the back sets. All we can focus on is the obstacles. All we can focus on are the hurdles. But I'm glad that we've got a God tonight that is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the hopeless case. He is the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask or think. There's a few things I'll point out here tonight in these verses. First of all, there is a serious lack. Now, there's two shortages in this story. Two items that were in short supply. One of them is obvious. The other one not so obvious. We'll cover them both. But there's a serious lack. Can I say, first of all, that the crowd lacked food. Now, this was a huge crowd gathered on a grassy knoll there. Like I said, probably upwards of 20,000 people. And they're hungry. Boy, and I began to think when I was studying this afternoon, what a picture of today's society. Oh, they're hungry. They're hungry. They're trying to fill up with methamphetamine. They're trying to fill up with Bud Dumber, Miller Low Life. They're trying to meet their expectations that way, trying to fill up on worldly things. But the bottom line is, they've got a hole that they're trying to feed. They're hungry. So there was a lack of food. That's obvious. Everybody can see that there was a lack here of food, that they didn't come and plan ahead. They didn't think ahead, at least not most of them did. And they came in there with a lack of food. That's the obvious lack. But there's another lack here, and that is a lack of faith. Now the crowd lacked food. The Christians lacked faith. The Bible said there in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I love what the Lord does right here. I love it. Billy, come here and you're going to be Philip. I love what the Lord does right here. He sees that crowd. And you think God don't have a sense of humor? He does have a sense of humor. There's a lot of times in the Bible I see things that I think are hilarious. And this is one of those things that I personally think is funny. I see Jesus, he goes to Philip and he says, Philip, thinking about sending you to the store to buy this crowd food. Reckon where there's a store we can buy it. Now they're in the middle of a desert. Thinking about sending you to the store to buy this crowd food. Now what did he say? He said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence, that's where, shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6 is important because he said this, he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me point this out to you real quickly. Jesus always knows what he's going to do. He always knows the answer. He always knows the solution. He says, think about sending you out to the store. I see old Philip now. The panic look starts coming on his face. Carry the one. The three goes under there. No. Oh, my goodness. And he comes back to the Lord. And what Philip should have said was, he should have said, yeah. Good one, Lord. What are you really going to do? But you know, Philip, he just takes it real serious. So he says, Lord, 200 pennyworth is not enough that we could buy all this bunch of bread. Judas, he's hiding his pocketbook, hiding the page. He's hiding the checkbook. He thinks this crazy crowd getting ready to go buy 200. See now, 200 pennyworth, that would have been 200 days' wages. 200 days' wages. Now you think about what a average worker makes today, and then you think about 200 days worth of wage. That's a lot. Amen. Penny, hey, he said, hey, there's no way. So what Philip said was, Philip said, this is impossible. No way. We can't do it, Lord. Even if we had the money, we don't have a stove. And the store probably wouldn't have the food. I read after one writer today that said it probably took 17 tons of food to feed this crowd. So he said, impossible! But then came Andrew, mere Andrew. Now Andrew's done a little bit better than Philip. I mean, he's better looking, but he's done a little better too. Andrew comes up. And he said, there's a lad here. Come here, lad. Get over here with Andrew. Andrew says, there's a lad here. We've got a lad here. So while Philip's going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, carry the 4, add 3. That fella's fat. I better do him twice. Andrew's at least went out into the crowd and he's going, hey, anybody got any food? Anybody bring anything to eat? There's a little old lad. He pops up and he says, yeah, I did. I brought something. Come on, son. What you got in that little bag? Oh, it's not enough. So what Andrew says is there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves. Now, I'll point out something about them barley loaves. Them barley loaves were the food of poor people. Rich people didn't eat barley loaves. See, he's got five barley loaves, two small fish, but what are they among